where does that leave us? Excuse me. It should leave us checking our friend list. Because Jesus called Lazarus his friend. And therefore, Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. So regarding death, you need a friend in the highest of places. Without one, you're in big trouble. Because Proverbs 11:7 says this. When the wicked die, their hopes all perish. All he expected from his power comes to nothing. So make sure that Jesus relates to you in the same term of endearment and relationship he used with Lazarus. Preparing death by making friends with the Lord Christ. That is by trusting in him and him alone as your personal Savior from sin and death. And that's all it takes. Jesus to take you to heaven with him when you die. And all out faith and trust in him that he died for you and your sins. Rose again, he's coming back. He is the Lord. You know that and you're trusting him completely. And in Psalm 116, 15 will be true of you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Dread of death ends when you know that heaven is your true home. In all my air travels, and I'm sure in your air travels, we've never seen a passenger weep when the plane has landed safely, right? I mean, nobody does that, never. Unless, you know, maybe they're tears of joy. But no one clings to the armrest and begs, don't make me leave. Don't make me get off this plane. Let me stay and eat more peanuts. Peanuts. I mean, that's what Earth is like compared to our heavenly life, what it's going to be. So we're willing to exit the plane. We know it's not our home. It's not our destination, nor is this world. Philippians 3:20 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. John Knox could relate. Born in 1505 in Scotland, his preaching revived a society, really. He inspired the masses. He defied the excesses of the throne. So some loved him, others despised him, but Scotland has never forgotten him. And to this day, you could visit his home in Edinburgh and stand in the very room where some believed he breathed his last. And here's what happened. His co-worker, a guy by the name of Richard Bannatyne, I think, stood near his bedside, and he could tell Knox's breathing was labored. It was slow. You've been around a bedside of a person who's dying. You know what it sounds like. He leaned over his friend's form. The time to end your battle has come. Have you hope? He whispered to his friend. The answer for the old preacher came in the form of a finger. He lifted the finger and he pointed toward heaven when he died. Inspiring a poet to write, the death angel left him. What time earth's bonds were riven, the cold, stark, stiffening finger still pointing upward to heaven. So may your death find you pointing to heaven. That direction. So why don't we do this? Give God our death. Imagine your last breath, envision your final moments, and offer them to God now. Deliberately, regularly saying, Lord, I receive your work from the cross and your resurrection. I entrust my departure from earth to you. It's yours, Lord. In multiple ways, Solomon was right. When you have Christ as your friend, in your eternal home, and that's your eternal home, then death becomes sweeter than the day of our birth. Let's pray. Lord, some stark thoughts, some good thoughts, Lord. The thoughts of death bring us to the thoughts of life and eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And this time is his. We thank you again, Lord, for what he's done for us. We pray that our worship in these moments would be pleasing to you. We're thankful, God, that we don't have to dread the day we die. We don't have to be enslaved by fear. But we can live out our lives with purpose and joy and hope of being with you someday because of all you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.